today's special guest, Louis Navalier from Navalier & Associates. Well, it's just a pleasure to welcome back Louis Navalier with Navalier & Associates. He runs four leading stock advisory newsletters, as well as the Portfolio Grader service. Welcome back, Louis Navalier.
Good to be here.
Well, just last week, the Fed released its latest meeting minutes, and it looks as though our policymakers are talking hawkish. Nevertheless, when we look at the St. Louis Fed's FRED website, we see that the Fed balance sheet is reaching the highest level in nearly 2 years, which indicates expansionary, dovish actions on their part. What's your take on the Fed's intentions here?
Well, I think, like many Americans, I think the Fed's just watching in amazement what's going on. You know, the folks in D.C. aren't very stressed because of the changes underway. But I think, you know, until Washington functions, I think they want to basically stay out of the way. Don't want to rock the boat. So I'm really not expecting a June rate increase. But I think the big test we're going to have is the deficit ceiling. One of the reasons retail sales declined 2 months in a row is tax refund checks weren't going out as fast as they normally do. The Treasury's playing all kinds of games to postpone the raising the deficit ceiling, but they're going to have to do that here very soon. And believe it or not, you need Democratic votes to raise that ceiling. So the Trump administration's biggest problem is what we call the Freedom Caucus, the folks that defeat him on health care. Those are libertarian-leaning, all funded by the Koch brothers, and they're just not cooperating, despite Mike Pence's outreach to them. When you raise the deficit ceiling, you have to go get Democratic votes, both President Trump and Paul Ryan, and President Trump might have to promise some pork to get the deficit ceiling raised, you know, like bridges and things, so federal spending. So it's going to be very fascinating. To me, that's the big thing we got to watch.
Well, the mining shares sector remains red hot. We've seen several stocks move several 100% in the past year or so. And the Navalier Associates portfolio grader has at least a couple of favorites, including Franco-Nevada, FNV. Give us your take on this company or any other shares in the sector that you're watching closely, please.
My position on gold miners is I prefer to buy physical gold. I think it's less volatile than the gold mining stocks. You know, we've had a lot of rain out west. The water table's been a little higher. That's going to slow down their mining operations just a tad, but obviously gold prices are at a point where that company should be fine. You know, they use the heat leach method to mine out west. The main thing is they just got a higher water table. They had a record winter snowpack out there. But we do like other metal stocks. I mean, we like Teck Resources, which is a nickel. We like SQM. That's a Chilean company, which mines a lot of lithium and fertilizer business as well. All the lithium in the hybrid cars. Hybrid cars are being are growing pretty fast right now, especially the electric cars.
Well, speaking of electric cars, the first company that comes to mind for many folks would be Tesla, ticker TSLA.
Well, I think Tesla is an example of how indexing destroys markets. You know, the tech bubble in 2000 was caused by 54% of the S&P being seven giant tech stocks. When they added Tesla to the QQQ and other major indices, because they know they have negative cash flow, they're going to have to sell more stocks. So Wall Street's pumping them, but this is a stock that is ridiculous. It should not be worth more than Ford or GM. Even Mr. Musk at this recent meeting said, well, if you like Ford so much, please don't buy it. They lose money on all their cars, okay? They are totally dependent upon their tax credits from the states. They scammed the state of Nevada for $1.8 billion, a very sore subject in Nevada. Everybody thought they'd hire locals, but we have two direct flights from Guadalajara just to staff the plant. I'm not anti the folks from Guadalajara. They're hardworking, but it's just they got $1.8 billion out of the state of Nevada and forgot to hire locals. So there's a lot of attention on that. And then finally, there's no way in hell the Tesla 3 is going to compete with the Chevy Bolt. The smaller the cars get, the less money you make. So Tesla is a fantasy. It's a fascinating company. If I lived in California, I'm sure I'd have one to get an HOV lane. But competition is fast coming. You're going to have electric Audis. You have electric Porsches. You have electric Mercedes, Volkswagens. You already have an electric Honda just recently. And, of course, you got all the good hybrids from Toyota and stuff. So there's no way this company survives.
Okay, turning to the Navalier portfolio grader service on the energy sector, another area that shows spectacular gains and tends to have higher than average dividend yields. Three companies pop up here in the top buy list: USA Compression Partnership, US Silica Holdings, and North American Energy Partners, ticker NOA.
My favorite energy stocks are Pioneer Natural Resources, PXD, and Devon Energy, DVN. A lot of those are transportation, especially Permian basin. Oil prices have settled at a stabilized at a very high level. That's perfect for the Permian basin. That's where all the rig counts are up, and we're drilling like crazy to be energy independent.
We've seen some spectacular gains in the technology sector in the past couple of years. One company that stands out recently, Microsoft, which has had stellar earnings announcements and beating some analysts' expectations. Any thoughts on ticker MSFT?
It's a good dividend stock. And we have another good dividend stock would be Qualcomm. Good sales, good earnings, good market penetration, dominance, very safe dividend. Those are all examples of a dividend play. Utilities had a higher price earnings ratio than tech stocks did, okay? And so you've seen all these mega cap tech stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Qualcomm, they're all become dividend plays, okay? Although Apple apparently has a new iPhone coming. They're litigating with Qualcomm, but Qualcomm dominates 4 and 5G chipsets, so they'll be fine. Microsoft has been obviously very dominant in gaming. They still don't have the most dominant operating system. Their Windows Phone is actually okay, doing very well in emerging markets. It's a very good company. It's just you should use the dividend play.
Turning back to the precious metal sector for one moment, do you have any thoughts on the StreetTrax ETF, the world's largest gold exchange-traded fund? Many folks on the show have expressed their concerns about whether or not the ETFs are reliable, whether their business model is really a safe haven, or whether or not it could be just very disappointing for many investors on a forward basis.
I have a real problem with a lot of ETFs. The biggest problem with ETFs is people don't realize they don't trade at net asset value. And we worry about the premiums, discounts, and price anomalies with ETFs. Again, it's not like physical gold or a stock that would trade at its closing price. The ETFs can trade at premiums or discounts. So that's why I'd rather have people own the physical gold. And as far as whether they have the collateral to back that or not, let's hope so. But we worry about that. But apparently a lot of the appreciation goal was people buying the ETFs, and ETFs were forced to go out and buy. I mean, I think the biggest issue with gold is governments. You know, when India cut back on physical gold sales, that hurt gold temporarily, but we've gotten over that.
Okay, there's been talk by legislators lately that there could be a return to the Glass-Steagall Act. There's been concern that the Dodd-Frank Act just is not sufficient to safeguard our financial markets. And folks in particular are primarily concerned over the potential for a repeat of the 2008 Great Recession and financial meltdown. Apparently, there just isn't the separation between investment banks and major money center banks in this country.
Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, it's all about their trading profits and how much money their trading desk is making. A lot of people don't realize a lot of the passive strategies out there, they make a lot of money rebalancing and trading these things. Equally weighted active ETFs are rebalanced every 90 days, and these desks can make a lot of money. You know, Bank of America came out the other day and says, hey, we finally made more money because the Fed started to raise short-term interest rates, so our operating margins improved. The yield curve's flattening a bit. You got to be really, really careful out there. There are financials that act more like banks, like a Wells Fargo and Bank of America, and there's financials that act more like trading desks, like a J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Goldman. I think the businesses should be separated, but I don't see any legislation happening right now. There's not enough outrage to have legislation, so I don't think Dodd-Frank's going to be defeated to the magnitude that everybody expects, and I don't think Glass-Steagall's coming back.
The bull market in U.S. equities, for the most part, remains intact after several years of explosive gains. Nevertheless, we tend to see a sector rotation. Could we see a rotation away from the currently hot sectors of technology and financial institutions into the mining and metal shares and related sectors?
Well, you know, China has pretty good GDP. That's good for all the metals companies and miners. The worldwide GDP is decent right now. So I think they're okay, but it's like anything, you got to have earnings now, okay? The dollar is not quite as strong as it used to be. That helps prices firm up just a bit, too. I think as the earnings materialize, that whole sector takes off again. The best earnings of the first quarter are clearly going to be energy and tech. Tech will probably run hot and heavy through the end of the year, largely because Apple's going to have the new iPhone and it'll help lead everybody. You know, we have resurging earnings out there, and the main reason the stock market's done well is it's shrinking. It's physically shrinking. Companies sell debt to buy their stock back, and the S&P has over 2% dividend yield. The 10-year Treasury is barely 2.2. Dividends are tax advantage versus Treasury bond interest. So basically, as people get more and more wealthy, dividend stocks make sense. So this is going to be a very good year. The only thing that's going to derail this thing is the corporate tax reform. We need to have that corporate tax reform passed. We're anticipating it, and I hope they do get it through. If they can't get it through this Congress, they'll never get it through. Let's hope they get that, otherwise that could cause a correction, and August is the most vulnerable time.
Well, you've clearly outlined an important mechanism by which U.S. equities have continued to ascend to lofty heights. Nevertheless, with the threat of higher interest rates, that, of course, would lessen the appetite for investors for corporations to issue debt in order to buy back their shares in capital stock. Do you see a slowing, then, of buybacks, and what might that mean for the U.S. equities markets?
Well, I don't see the Fed raising short-term rates in June, no matter what the Fed fund futures say, because of the deficit ceiling, uncertainty, because of the bad payroll number in March, although ADP was fine, because inflation just fizzled based on the CPI and PPI was negative. I just don't see it. And I see this market rates have collapsed. Also, you have the French election. Le Pen's probably going to win the first election in late April. And then, if she wins the runoff election of the final two candidates in May, that will cause the dollar to rally. Now you also have the British election in June to further solidify Brexit. You know, these are all things that cause the Fed to hesitate. They do look at global events. I think it's very simple. I think the Fed leads from behind. I think they follow market rates higher. If market rates are higher in June, then they'll raise. But right now, I see market rates softening.
And as we wind up the discussion today, please give investors a handful of your favorite companies and ticker symbols that you would consider adding to any portfolio.
Well, I have to give you more aggressive stocks at this moment, only because we're in the middle of earnings season here. But I do like NVIDIA very, very much. They make the artificial intelligence chips that are in the self-driving cars. They dominate the video gaming. They dominate all our tablets, our laptop computers, and our phones, energy-efficient chips. That's NVDA. They'll have stunning sales and earnings. Very good buy near term. I like optical switching companies a lot. My two favorite would be AAOI. And another one that's in Sugarland, Texas, and another one would be OCLR. Essentially, they're helping the cloud get faster and faster. They're helping the cable modems, everything get faster and faster. What's driving the quest for speed on the internet is not only all this cloud computing and data centers, which is very healthy. Another thing that's driving it is 4K television. When you get a 4K TV, you have to have streaming. I mean, I know DirecTV has a 4K channel, but by and large, you need streaming. And by the way, you can stream DirecTV now. So you need faster internet for all this stuff to work. So the optical switching has become a big, big deal. Finally, energy is going to be fine. Again, Devon, DVN, Pioneer Natural Resources are very good plays there. So I'm very comfortable with that. And everybody that owns Tesla, sell it.
Yeah, I share your sentiments on NVIDIA. As an actual end user myself, I'm running this interview today on an NVIDIA card. And of course, for folks who like to use applications for crunching large data sets or, you know, factoring prime numbers, CUDA software can now be run, as well as Mathematica. And related software programs can be run at phenomenal speeds on NVIDIA's graphical processor units. Of course, GPU versus CPU. And it's much less energy intensive and much, much faster. And you can buy a card or even a used card for $50 to $150 and have power that was virtually reserved for top universities' mainframe computer rooms in the past. So NVIDIA is on the cutting edge for researchers.
If you go to Navler.com, that's my newsletter site, there are two free databases there, our Portfolio Grader and our Dividend Grader. And you have full access to my database of 1,400 stocks in Dividend Grader and over 4,000 stocks in Stock Grader. We rank stocks on an A, B, C, D, F basis. Obviously, A's are strong buys and F's to sell. I take advantage of our free database out there, key your stocks in, track them. The databases are updated every week automatically. Also, we have paid newsletters that take these databases and data mine them to find the creme la creme. You know, we exist to empower investors, and it starts with our free databases.
All right, we want to thank you, Louis Navalier, for your thoughts today.
It's been great talking to you. Take care.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. Thank you.